106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. It's Thursday and it's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
So we talked last week about New Year's resolutions, specifically for our pets, maybe how we can help their new year be a little better. And I thought this week we could talk a little bit about nutrition. I think that's something that we as humans are thinking about with a new year. And it's never a bad conversation to talk about how we can help our pets be healthier with their nutrition.
You have your dog and cats that basically are healthy and well, and you just want them to continue on that way. And in those cases, just finding a good all-round dog food or cat food that has, and maybe even if you're looking at, I often get asked, hey, should they be on a vitamin? And that's where our, if it's a large dog, you worry about joint support, so maybe having some omega-3 fatty acids as well as glucosamine chondroitin supplemented in there. And the omega-3s can be in the diet, and then you might supplement with something like a cocequin or a dasequin. Probiotics, I mean, if you've got a dog that has a bit of a gastrointestinal sensitivity, or even it's just a healthy animal, they make dog food. I know my girl's food says prebiotics on it. So that's kind of setting up for, it's not necessarily the bacteria themselves, but it's feeding them. It's an ideal dinner for good bacteria that support good bacteria in the gut. So just things to think about. Those three are top just for healthy animals. And it kind of can go the same way with cats. And a healthy cat, things to consider, you know, joint health. Omega-3s are good for more than just joints. I mean, heart health, vision. Omega-3s have so many inputs in just overall health. And I think we kind of forget that a lot because, or at least I don't necessarily forget it, but I'm so focused on joints very often because of arthritis situations and then pushing the glucosamine chondroitin. But our omega-3s are a great, you know, just supplementing that. That's your multivitamin right there for a lot of dogs and cats.
So do they make something like that in a chewable that you can give in addition to maybe a food that also contains that?
Yeah, you've got several products that can be used to supplement omega-3 fatty acids. Whey-lactin, which is your Nutramax, they're the makers of cocequin and dasequin. They make something called whey-lactin, and that is a supplement, this omega-3 supplement. My girl takes it in a chew form, so it's as a treat, which is really helpful. Omega-3s can be a little tricky because I think the big one everybody knows is fish oil, and which is an excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids, but the problem is the smell. And it's an oil. So, I mean, it permeates, kind of sticks there on the, you know, either on the food, squirted on, or on the breath, it lingers a little bit, smelling like fish. So that might be something that isn't tolerated very well on the human side of it. I think the animals take it just fine. And then the other thing, too, if it's in oil form, that's something that can go rancid. So keeping that at a certain storage temperature and making sure it's getting used up before that happens. Those are just little pointers for the omega-3s. But the one I use is the chew and a treat, and I don't smell it on my girl's breath, and it keeps pretty well.
Well, and is there the same thing for cats? Do they make the same thing in a dosage that is good for cats?
So they make, I still think they make, there are all kinds of things for cats. You can use that same squirt salmon oil, but again, the smell can be an issue. They don't make a chew. They might make a sprinkle capsule to put on the food, but I'm not sure on that. But most of the time, it's going to be in liquid form just because of the oils. It's the fatty acids, that's the easiest way to get it, easiest way to prepare it.
I read something about superfoods, that was a new trend for 2024 for our dogs. What does that mean?
So superfoods probably have a lot of micronutrients in them or just antioxidant properties. Your Mac, just a little recap on terms of your nutrition. Your macronutrients are the big guys, so your proteins and your fats and your carbohydrates. But you have micro requirements as well, and so do dogs and cats. Different things. All I can think of is taurine in cats. That's one that they can't get. They can't make. They have to get that one from their diet. So they're little nutrients found higher in some foods. I mean, the antioxidants, I think, we're most familiar with. You know, blueberries are a big one for that. Just things that are, you know, have been healthy for humans because they've been your health foods. I mean, it's similar in cats and dogs. You just have to be careful anytime. I mean, I still advise kind of staying away from supplementing with human food, just saying, hey, blueberries are good, and then giving blueberries, because you might not be giving enough. You might not be doing it consistently enough that it's making a difference. And you might not be, you know, the product you're using might not be great for dogs in particular, or cats. So, I mean, that's why I am an advocate for, maybe not in humans, I mean, we should get it in their natural forms where we can. But for dogs and cats that are not small humans, it's important to get it either in their dog food or in a prepared supplement, so that you know that they're getting the right amount, that they're getting it consistently, and it's not attached to anything that could hurt them, like artificial sweeteners or anything like that.
I think you make a very valid point, because we've talked about this before, and I know myself personally, my dogs are my children. And I think sometimes we do think they're little humans, and we tend to think through that lens and want to give them things that are good for us, and that's not necessarily the best idea.
Yeah, a lot of the things that are good for us are good for our dogs and cats. It's just that some certainly aren't. You know, grapes, very healthy for us, but a no-no for dogs. And onions definitely have their health properties too for humans, but that's a no-no, especially for cats. So you do just have to be really, really careful, unless you really know what you're doing in terms of amount, in terms of proportions and delivery, how to, you know, what to mix it with, what to, in order to give it to them.
And finally, what role do antioxidants and amino acids play in our pets' food?
Antioxidants are great. And I think if you ask anybody if antioxidants are a good thing, they'd say, oh, yeah. But in terms of what they do, it can be a little bit more of a conversation. So they are... There are certain processes that make free radicals, and antioxidants will actually kind of take those away. So there's a harmful byproduct of certain processes that antioxidants will take care of. And when we talk about free radicals and things like that, these harmful byproducts of some of the natural processes in our body, that's what contributes big time to signs of aging. It does damage to our cells. So that's where antioxidants are really, really helpful.
And amino acids.
So amino acids are heavily found in protein. Those are your proteins. So they're the building blocks of our muscles in particular. And for cats, it's a necessity as part of their diet, because they're obligate carnivores. They need protein to survive on. That's what their energy is derived from, is protein. So that's where amino acids are really important. Amino acids in dogs are important too. I mean, that's why there's that requirement for protein in their diet, but it definitely plays more of a role for cats.
If you have a question you'd like Dr. Crockett to answer on a future show, you can email it to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.